ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। भगवते वासुदेवाय। You read from Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 18, text 75. Vyasa prasada chutavan Etad guyam aham param Yogam yogeshwarat krishnat Sakshat katayata swayam Vyasa prasadat. By the mercy of Vyasadeva, Shutavan, have heard, etat, this, guyam, confidential, aham, I, param, the supreme, Yogam, mysticism, Yoga Ishwarat, from the master of all mysticism, Krishnat, from Krishna, Sakshat, directly, Katayata, speaking, Swayam, personally. Translation: by the mercy of Vyas, I have heard these most confidential talks directly from the master of all mysticism, Krishna, who was speaking personally to Arjuna. Please repeat. By the mercy of Vyas, I have heard these most confidential talks directly from the master of all mysticism, Krishna, who is speaking personally to Arjuna. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Vyas was the spiritual master of Sanjay, and Sanjay admits that it was by Vyasa's mercy that he could understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This means that one has to understand Krishna not directly, but through the medium of the spiritual master. The spiritual master is the transparent medium. Although it is true that the experience is still direct, this is the mystery of the disciplic succession. When the spiritual master is bona fide, then one can hear the Bhagavad Gita directly, as Arjuna heard it. There are many mystics and yogis all over the world, but Krishna is the master of all yoga systems. Krishna's instruction is explicitly stated in the Bhagavad Gita. Surrender unto Krishna. One who does so is the topmost yogi. This is confirmed in the last verse of the sixth chapter. Yoginam api sarvesham. Narada is the direct disciple of Krishna and the spiritual master of Vyas. Therefore, Vyas is as bona fide as Arjuna because he comes in the disciplic succession. And Sanjay is the direct disciple of Vyas. Therefore, by the grace of Vyas, Sanjay's senses were purified, and he could see and hear Krishna directly. One who directly hears Krishna can understand this confidential knowledge. If one does not come to the disciplic succession, he cannot hear Krishna. Therefore, his knowledge is always imperfect, at least as far as understanding the Bhagavad Gita is concerned. In the Bhagavad Gita, all the yoga systems, karma yoga, jnana yoga, and bhakti yoga, are explained. Krishna is the master of all such mysticism. It is to be understood, however, that as Arjuna was fortunate enough to understand Krishna directly, so, by the grace of Vyas, Sanjay was also able to hear Krishna directly. Actually, there is no difference between hearing directly from Krishna and hearing directly from Krishna via a bona fide spiritual master like Vyas. The spiritual master is the representative of Vyasadeva also. Therefore, according to the Vedic system, the birthday of the spiritual master, on the birthday of the spiritual master, the disciples conduct the ceremony called Vyas Puja. Translation again. By the mercy of Vyas, I have heard these most confidential talks directly from the master of all mysticism, Krishna, who was speaking personally to Arjuna. So we have gathered on the most auspicious occasion, the most blessed event of the Vyas Puja of His Divine Grace, Srila Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, Srila Gurudev. The relationship between the disciple and the spiritual master and Krishna is most crucial in the life of every living entity. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavana Jiva Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Bid. The living entity is wandering through so many different planetary systems in so many different universes. But when he is fortunate, he gets the seed of devotional service by the mercy of the spiritual master and Krishna. Therefore, it is said that by the mercy of Krishna, one gets a spiritual master. And by the mercy of the spiritual master, one attains Krishna. We should always see the spiritual master in relation to Krishna. Chaitanya Charitamrita also says that one should see the spiritual master either as the manifestation of the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, or as the most confidential servant of Sri Krishna. We heard last night from the TKG Memory Book, Volume 2, how Tamal Krishna Goswami usually maintained an aura of strictness and seriousness and intensity, because he wanted the disciples to always be mindful that the relationship with the spiritual master is spiritual. It is serious. It is meant to awaken the disciples' dormant love for Krishna. Ditya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunai. Love of Krishna is existing eternally within the heart of every living entity. And by hearing the messages of Krishna, that dormant love is awakened. Udai is awakened. So hearing about Krishna is the method by which our dormant love for him is awakened. But when the question of hearing about Krishna arises, the next question is, from whom shall I hear about Krishna? The answer is that one should hear about Krishna from a devotee of Krishna. One should hear or learn the book Bhagavat from the person Bhagavat. That was stated by Swarup Damodar Goswami. Here in the Bhagavad Gita, we have a very special situation. Krishna is driving the chariot of Arjuna, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Sanjay, who is the secretary of Dhritarashtra, is sitting in the camp with Dhritarashtra. He's not on the battlefield. But still, he was able to directly see and hear the entire conversation between Krishna and Arjuna. How is it possible? Because he wasn't physically present. The answer is given here in Sanjay's own words, Vyasa Prasadat, by the mercy of Vyas, by the mercy of his spiritual master, he was able to hear the conversation between Krishna and Arjuna, most confidential discussion. But still, Yogeshwarat Krishnat Sakshat, he heard directly from Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada explains, this is the mystery of disciplic succession, that one hears from Krishna through the mercy of the spiritual master. One cannot approach Krishna directly, but still the experience is direct. Sometimes disciples would ask Srila Prabhupada about the relationship with the spiritual master after liberation. What is the relationship with the spiritual master when the disciple goes back to Godhead? And Srila Prabhupada gave different answers. Of course, the relationship between the disciple and the spiritual master is eternal. It continues life after life. Chakudan diloye, janme janme prabhuse. And it continues even in the spiritual world. Once Srila Prabhupada said that when you go back, well, he was speaking to his own disciple. He said, when you go back to Godhead, Krishna will be standing on one side and you will be standing on the other side, and I will be in the middle, and I will place your hand in Krishna's hand. Another example he gave is that when the father arranges for the daughter's marriage, the daughter has her relationship with her husband, naturally, but at the same time, the relationship with the father still continues. So it is an eternal relationship. In fact, our service to the spiritual master here culminates in our service to him in the spiritual world. Although both are absolute, both are absolute. we get a sense of these eternal relationships from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. I'll use the example of Raghunath Das Goswami, in part because we recently celebrated the Panihati festival. But Raghunath Das Goswami was very eager to join Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He wanted to dedicate himself fully to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But by circumstances, he was married. His father and uncle were very wealthy landlords in Bengal. They were practically like kings. They were so opulent. And Raghunath Das was the only son of both his father and uncle. So the whole future of the family dynasty and the family fortune depended on Raghunath Das. So, anyway, he came to hear that Nityananda Prabhu was nearby at Panihati. So he went to see him there. And there he begged for Nityananda Prabhu's mercy that he be freed from the shackles of family life and be enabled to join Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Nityananda Prabhu blessed him, so that very soon you will become free and you will join Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri, and he will place you under the care of Swarup Damodar Goswami, and you will serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as one of his confidential associates. And so it came to pass. Now, the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Chaitanya Lila are also associates of Krishna in Krishna Lila. And the same types of relationships that they had with Krishna in Krishna Lila, they had, of course, the mood was different and their bodily appearance was different. But the essence of the relationships were the same. So in Krishna Lila, of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna. And Swarup Damodar Goswami is Lalita Devi. After Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wound up his pastimes on earth, Raghunath Das Goswami took shelter of Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Sanatana Goswami in Vrindavan. And Srila Rupa Goswami in Krishna Lila is Rupa Manjari. And Raghunath Das Goswami in Krishna Lila is Rati Manjari. So, of course, Rati Manjari's service to the divine couple is direct, but at the same time, she serves them, you know, under the guidance of, by the mercy of Rupa Manjari and Lalita Devi. So the same situation exists both in Krishna Leela and in Chaitanya Leela. So now, if we come to Srila Prabhupada and his dear disciple Tamal Krishna Goswami. Tamal Krishna Goswami was the most confidential servant and secretary of Srila Prabhupada. And, I will speak about my own case, but I think it's quite representative of many others. But Tamal Krishna Goswami, being such a close associate of Srila Prabhupada's, again, coming to my case, he helped me to understand Srila Prabhupada. He helped me to, in a sense you could say, he helped me to hear Srila Prabhupada because he helped me to understand Srila Prabhupada. And he also helped, you know, on occasion, bring me into Srila Prabhupada's presence. As Prabhupada's secretary, he did that. One example I think of is I had the idea, I think naive idea, that the spiritual master knew everything, or that the spiritual master knew whatever Krishna wanted him to know. Which is true in a way. It is true in a way. But in December of 1971, I arranged a program for Srila Prabhupada in Madras. I'd met almost all the most important people in Madras, and the arrangement was that on the day of Prabhupada's arrival, there would be a big procession for him down Mount Road, the main street in Madras, and it would culminate at the Civic Center, at the courthouse, and so many dignitaries would be joining. So Srila Prabhupada came, I suppose he took some prasad and then he took rest. And almost all the other devotees went ahead for the procession, and Srila Prabhupada was taking rest. And it was getting later and later, but I had this idea that when Krishna wanted from within the heart, he would wake up Srila Prabhupada. So I was getting more and more nervous because it was getting later and later, and I was imagining how long it would take the procession to reach the Civic Center, and time was just passing, and I was getting more and more nervous. So finally, I just sort of peeked in Srila Prabhupada's room, and eventually on his own he woke up. So I said, Srila Prabhupada, you know, at such and such time, and the procession began at such and such time, and people will be waiting for you at the courthouse. And Srila Prabhupada said, well, why didn't you wake me? So, anyway, as it is, by the time we got to the courthouse, almost everyone had left. There were a few dignitaries waiting with garlands, but pretty much everyone had left. So I still didn't know how to understand it all. And so later I asked Tamal Krishna Goswami, and he said that that you can't assume that the spiritual master will know something. Your duty as a disciple is to inform the spiritual master of what you believe he needs to know. You can't just leave it to Krishna. It was actually an important lesson. It came up on other occasions. So Tamal Krishna Goswami helped me understand Srila Prabhupada. He helped me understand the principle of Guru Tattva, the relationship between the spiritual master and Krishna, and between the disciples and the spiritual master. But still, the experience was direct. Still, I would meet Srila Prabhupada, I would speak with him, he would speak to me. So, now, there's another aspect to this. The spiritual master is the transparent medium. And this is more, well, I guess it would depend more or less, but this is most poignant that the Lord manifests himself as the spiritual master. The Lord is far away in one sense, in Goloka Vrindavan, but he extends himself as the spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada gives the example that the sun is millions of miles away from the earth. You say 93 million miles away. But the sun can enter your room as the sunshine. So the same way Krishna is far away in Goloka Vrindavan, but he can enter your room as your spiritual master. And the same love that Krishna has for the living entity is expressed by the spiritual master. And the same love that we want to develop for Krishna is manifested first in relation to the spiritual master. once when well, you might have seen some of the DVDs. I hope everyone is seeing all the DVDs in the series called Following Srila Prabhupada. How when he would come to the Los Angeles temple, the disciples would line the pathways with flowers, and they would give Srila Prabhupada flowers, and he'd give the flowers back to them. So on one such occasion, Vishnujan Maharaj said to Srila Prabhupada something like, "Srila Prabhupada, you're so wonderful." And Srila Prabhupada replied, "Yes, that is how Krishna is tricking you, trapping you." In other words, he didn't see it that he was wonderful, that he was attractive, but that Krishna was manifesting himself through him to attract the disciples ultimately to Krishna. So this is a very important point. In the case of Srila Prabhupada, he was present with his disciples for at most, you know, in the case of the earliest disciples, 12 years. Srila Gurudev was present with his disciples say 24 years. It's twice as long. And he gave them a lot of personal association, especially in Dallas and Houston, where he had his base. So that becomes a very a strong attachment and memory. And that has two effects. One is it guides us in our devotional service. We remember how he did things, what he said, but it also leads us to feel separation. Today is Tamal Krishna Goswami's appearance day, but I'm sure every single person in this room is thinking of his disappearance. But that feeling of separation is actually a great impetus in devotional service, because in feelings of separation, one prays more intensely. I just read I'm not remembering the context but oh yes, I do remember the context. I was reading the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and also Srila Prabhupada's talks about the sixth canto. And you know the story of Ajamil? He was a good Brahmin boy. He was trained to worship the deity and do everything that a good Brahmin boy would do. But then, by bad association, he fell down. He became attracted to a prostitute and eventually married her, and for her, very bad what happened. And then in the end, at the time of death, the Yamadutas, the agents of Yamaraj, came, very sort of with ugly features, fearsome. They came to drag his soul out of his body and take it for hellish punishments. And Ajamil, seeing these fearsome figures, was in complete panic, and his small son Narayan was playing nearby, and he, just out of desperation, he started to call him, "Narayan, Narayan," and as soon as he uttered the holy name of Narayan in complete helplessness, the agents of Lord Narayan came, the Vishnu Dutas, to rescue him. So they intervened. There was a big discussion between the Yamadutas and the Vishnu Dutas about who's punishable, what is religion. And Ajamil, he heard this discussion, and he felt very grateful to the Vishnu Dutas because they had saved him from death, they'd saved him from hellish suffering, and so he became very attached to them. But this was all happening when Ajamil, externally you could say he was in coma, but internally he was witnessing everything and hearing everything. And finally, the Yamadutas understood that we have no jurisdiction over Ajamil because he chanted the holy name without offense, and so they released him and they left. And when they released him, he came back to consciousness, to external consciousness, and he saw the Vishnu Dutas. And he was so filled with love and gratitude and appreciation that, he, you know, just coming back to external consciousness, he wanted to offer prayers to them. And when the Vishnu Dutas saw that he was about to offer prayers to them, they immediately disappeared. And when I read this, I thought, why? You know, he went through such a terrible experience. They're the ones who saved his life. And just as he was about to offer prayers to them, to express his heartfelt feelings to them, they left immediately. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that as soon as the Vishnu Duta saw that he wanted to offer prayers, they left, because they wanted him to feel separation. Because in separation, one's feelings are intensified, and one's spiritual progress is accelerated. So, of course, Jamil, he left home and went to Haridwar to chant the holy name. That was his sadhana. That's what he had learned from the Vishnu Dutas. And eventually he came to the stage of chanting the holy name purely. There are different stages in chanting. There's the offensive stage, nam aparad. And we should all know what the 10 offenses are, so we can detect if we're committing offenses and try to avoid them. If we are aware of the offenses and try to avoid them consistently, then that's called the clearing stage, or the offenseless stage. And then when we actually do clear the avidya, ignorance, and anarthas, then we can come to the pure stage, shuddhanam. So Ajamil went to Haridwar. He engaged in chanting, and eventually, when he was completely purified, the same Vishnu Dutas, whom he had seen at the most critical time, came to him again. But this time they had brought a chariot to take him back home, back to Godhead. So there are actually quite a few similarities between what happened to Ajamil with the Vishnu Dutas and us. We were certainly sinful, engaged in sinful activities, and then by the mercy of the spiritual master, we learned about the science of devotional service, and we were saved from certain punishment in hell. And we had his association, we heard his discourses, and then he left, and we're bereft of his personal association. But still, we know that the relationship is eternal. It's not that because he's left our material vision that he's no longer present, or that our relationship with him is finished. No, our relationship continues on the basis of following the instructions. And when we're successful, we will see him again. this question also came up in relation to Srila Prabhupada about how we become established in our eternal relationship with Krishna. In Mayapur, Srila Prabhupada told this one person that, you know, you don't have to worry about it. When the time comes, I will personally come and establish you in your eternal relationship with Krishna. So, there are many nice prayers. I mean, they're pretty confidential, but there's one nice a song by Narottam Das Thakur. Of course, Tamal Krishna Goswami used to love to sing the songs of Narottam Das Thakur and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, where Narottam Das Thakur arrives in the spiritual world. In his case, he is a gopi, Vilas Banjari. So he arrives in the spiritual world and he meets his spiritual master, Lokanath Goswami. Lokanath Goswami is also a gopi, Manjuali, Manjari. And so here's this new gopi, just arrived, wants to do service, but has no connection, has no access. So Manjari introduces the new girl, Vilas Manjari, to Rupa Manjari. And Rupa Manjari introduces her to Radha and Krishna. So, but again, even in the spiritual world, the service will continue in the same way. The relationship is direct. This new gopi has her direct relationship with Radha and Krishna, but still she will serve under the guidance of Manjuali and Rupa Manjari. So we should keep, not just keep in mind the goal, but we should have hope that we can actually reach the goal. It's not beyond us. It's actually, well, like Prabhupada said, simple for the simple, but difficult for the crooked. So if we can become simple, you know, without duplicity, and just follow the process, then we can achieve this goal. We're meant to achieve this goal. This is the reason for which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Panchatattva descended. This is the reason for which our Guru Parampara, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, Tamal Krishna Goswami, this is the reason for which they appeared and preached, so that we could achieve this. Yesterday I was listening to a recording of Tamal Krishna Goswami speaking on Srila Prabhupada's appearance day, Vyas Puja Day, in Mayapur. And he said so many things. Actually, everyone should hear this. There's a whole series of tapes that I guess the tape ministry has put together of Tamal Krishna Goswami speaking about Srila Prabhupada and his experiences with Srila Prabhupada and his realizations about Srila Prabhupada. But in this particular talk, he was making the same point that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to deliver all the living entities in the whole universe. He didn't just come to deliver a few people in Bengal or even in India. And Srila Prabhupada came with the same mission. And he was saying the tragedy is that people have not recognized Srila Prabhupada's position. Even in Bengal, they haven't recognized who Srila Prabhupada was. In India, they haven't recognized who he was. And so they continue to suffer. The conditions in India are terrible. They're getting worse. And Bengal, also, terrible. Because they haven't recognized Srila Prabhupada's position. So in a way, they're committing offenses against him. And so Tamal Krishna Goswami said there can be no auspiciousness for them, because they're committing offenses against him and neglecting him and just carrying on in their own ways and creating more and more havoc and pain and misery. And then he said, that Srila Prabhupada's guru, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, preached so strongly. It's called Singha Guru, Lion Guru. And Srila Prabhupada was the same. He was like another Singha Guru. So saying we have to preach the same way, boldly, without compromise. And then Tamal Krishna Goswami said, and we also have to do the same thing. You know, our father and grandfather are lions. Lions don't give birth to pussycats. Lions give birth to other lions. So we also have to be lions. We're in that line. We have to be lions. We have to roar the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Preach very strongly. And then, of course, this, you know, I always had this, not always, but in the last years, and I say knock on wood, hope I'm not jinxing myself, but I always had a sense that I would live for quite a while longer, even though my health isn't that good. But still, I had the sense I would live for quite a while longer. And my logic was that I need more time. I'm a very slow learner, but I do want to learn, so I need more time. So when Tamal Krishna Goswami was speaking on Srila Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja in Mayapur, he was making the point that, you know, we should finish up in this same lifetime. We shouldn't wait. I mean, we have every facility right now, and we should take full advantage and finish up in the same lifetime. We shouldn't take birth again, have to take birth again. And then he said that Srila Prabhupada had told him that if the disciple, that the spiritual master wants the disciple to go back to Godhead in the same lifetime. And if the disciple needs more time, the spiritual master will arrange to extend his duration of life so that he can finish up in the same lifetime and doesn't have to start all over again in the next life. So when I heard that, I thought, wow, that's what I knew I needed more time. So we should have that hope, we should have that determination, we should have that conviction that I'm going to follow this process and go back to Godhead at the end of this life. And then we will again see that same person who saved us from hellish punishment, and he will accompany us to Krishna and his associates, of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, and introduce us to them, and they in turn will introduce us to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we will live happily ever after. But this is not just some, you know, made up story. The other day I was speaking with Archana Siddhi Mataji. She was here last time when we had the Japa weekend. And she'll be coming to the Japa retreat in Montgomery beginning next Wednesday. So she was saying how because our whole goal is to chant with attention, in an immediate sense, that's our goal. And she was saying that, because she's also a counselor, very qualified counselor, so she said she advises devotees, really, you know, not to watch television, not to watch DVDs, not to read magazines and newspapers, because he's saying those impressions linger in your mind. You know, she said, like, she doesn't do it very often, and of course now I think she probably tries to avoid it, but she said, like, if she watches something, that those impressions will just linger in her mind. And even when she's chanting, she'll be thinking of this, you know, scene from the movie, or, you know, some picture or article she read in the magazine or whatever it is. So, I mean, yeah, we might need to know a little about what's happening in the world so we can interact, but these things linger in the mind. And you know, of course, she uses her own language, she says what she does with her with the people she counsels is she has them do a cost-benefit analysis. That okay, you watch a movie or you read a magazine. What's the benefit you get from it? And then what's the cost? I wasn't used to that language, but I did relate it to my own situation, because you know, I would think, okay, well, we're chanting Hare Krishna, we're being, you know, invited. We're actually being invited by the divine couple to come and serve them. They're waiting for us. Like Prabhupada said, Krishna's more eager to get us back home, back to Godhead, than we can imagine. So they're waiting for us. They're inviting us. And we just have to accept the invitation. And get on the airplane. As opposed to that, there's these petty things of the world, petty happinesses, pleasures, petty miseries. Are we going to be holding on to those things and engrossing our consciousness in those things when we could be thinking of Radha and Krishna, their associates, and how we're going to get to go and serve them? It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Why? It's just such a waste. So definitely don't want to do that. So that was sort of my sentiment, and then, when she mentioned that cost-benefit analysis, well, I guess that's what it comes to. That's really what it comes to. So it is simple. When you really come down to it, it's quite simple. You know, chant, dance, discuss Krishna, read about Krishna, take prasad, work for Krishna, to our capacity. So it's not complicated at all. It's really very simple, but we have to be simple and not harbor all sorts of other motives and ideas, and just be simple. Simple for the simple. Of course, one shouldn't be too simple. I'm thinking of Srila Gurudev. I mean, in one sense, he was very simple. I mean, in his dedication to Prabhupada, he was very simple. I mean, it was just no question. Guru Maharaj once said, I'll do it. So it was very simple. You know, no questions, no arguments. If he was convinced that was really what Prabhupada wanted, he would do it. That was the end of it. Like, so staunch. But to deal in the material world, you have to be very intelligent. Well, it would depend on what your service is, but like yesterday we heard about the missing laundry. JB, do you remember that? Was that you? Huh? Yeah. Anyway, I won't go through the whole story, but to make it short, you could say J.B. lost one of Tamal Krishna Goswami's pieces of cloth. And Tamal Krishna Goswami was really very angry because he only had four sets, I think two short sleeve and two long sleeve. And he was very, very angry. So he told J.B. that because Srila Gurudev wasn't just content to get the point through to the person that he'd made a mistake, but he also wanted the person to rectify the mistake. He said, okay, what you have to do now is get on a train and go to Jaipur and get the cloth I want, the same kind of special cloth. Then you have to get on a train and go to Vrindavan and find the same old tailor who did the original set of cloth, because different tailors are different, and I want the same tailor. And he was an old man. I hope he's still there. Then you have to get on a train and come to Mayapur and get the cloth dyed, because, you know, there's only a special kind of dye that I like to use, and I want it to match. So that was the rectification. Then Tamal Krishna Goswami said, because they had looked everywhere, I mean, they didn't want to tell Tamal Krishna Goswami that the cloth was missing, because they were hoping somehow they could find it, but they looked everywhere they couldn't find it. Then Tamal Krishna Goswami said, I know what happened to the cloth. When the cloth was being carried from the clothesline, one of the pieces dropped. And we didn't notice it. But one of the workers noticed it. To us, it's just a piece of cloth, but to them, it has value. So one of the workers picked it up and took it home with him. That's why you'll never find the cloth, because it's not here anymore. One of the workers has taken it home. So you can't find it. So then Tamal Krishna Goswami called for the guest house manager. And he said, this is the situation. They were carrying the cloth. One of the pieces dropped. One of the workers picked it up and took it home. And I need that cloth. Otherwise, Jai Baladev, you know, has to do the needful to correct the situation. So the manager said, all right, I'll see what I can do. And then that night, he came up with the missing cloth. So how did he get it? He called a meeting with all the construction workers who are working on the new guest house. And he said, this has happened. We know one of you has the cloth. I want it on my table by 6 p.m. tonight. Otherwise, I'm firing all of you, and we're going to get a whole new crew. And sure enough, by 6 o'clock at night, the cloth showed up. Now, whenever I hear memories about Srila Gurudev, I'm always struck by how extraordinarily intelligent he was. This was just like a little example, but I never could have thought of that. I don't know who could have thought of that. He knew exactly what had happened to the cloth. And he knew exactly who to tell to get the cloth back. Now, he knew the guest house manager would know how to deal with the situation and get the cloth back. So that's like an uncanny knowledge of what happened and what to do about it. So yeah, so Tamal Krishna Goswami had two qualifications. One is he was ready to do whatever Srila Prabhupada wanted. And the other was, you know, he had the intelligence to be able to do almost anything. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada could entrust, you know, practically his whole mission to Tamal Krishna Goswami. So, I mean, that's a very powerful line that we're connected to. So, and recently I've heard from two of Goswami Maharaj's disciples. Very different circumstances. One is in India, one is in America, one's in a male body, one's in a female body. But they both more or less came to the same conclusion, which they both attribute to Tamal Krishna Goswami. The conclusion that they should not put any false hopes in the material world or become distracted or diverted in any way, but they should just surrender totally to Tamal Krishna Goswami and do whatever he instructs them, do whatever they want. So he is very active. He's present, he's very active. And it was striking to me how these two different devotees in two very different circumstances had both come to the same conclusion by his mercy that they should just surrender completely to him without reservation and just do whatever he wants them to do. So it's very simple. Of course, what does he want us to do? That's the next question. But if we have the desire to do whatever he wants us to do without any other consideration, he'll fulfill our desire. Somehow or other, he'll fulfill our desire. And that will, then we'll just let go of our grasp on the material world and just hold on to his lotus feet. And by holding on to his lotus feet, he will take us to the lotus feet of his spiritual master and ultimately the lotus feet of the Lord. And we'll all be together again. As Srila Prabhupada said, we'll have another ISKCON in the spiritual world. And as His Grace Burijan Prabhu said, that when he used to think of that, another ISKCON in the spiritual world, he wasn't so sure if he really wanted to be there.
one ISKCON's enough. To go to another ISKCON in the spiritual world? But then when he thought that Tamal Krishna Goswami is there, then he thought, well, maybe it's not such a bad idea after all. That was a joke, of course, but not completely. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai.